Well, you know, if it's St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, mm-hmm. that means there's probably an election, right? It's always around election time, and that tells you that it's the most fun time to have to be in Chicago's around election. Tuesday night was no different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of local contests of great intrigue. Obviously, more people were trying to get to the polls around the nation because of Trump mania or Trump phobia, but. Here locally, you know, the wins are done on the ground. It's not the air war. It's not, with all due respect to all of the fine advertisers, we ask you to continue to advertise. It's always good to get your name out there, but it's the feet on the street that win the really tight local elections, like a state rep or, well, that too, state rep or state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. What am I going to do? I don't know. Or for some of these other key races, including the state's attorney of Cook County. And Tony Preckwinkle is the president of the board of Cook County. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Ron and Anna. I'm
Tony.
Grateful to be here.
And I would say, you know, when people are asking me on TV and radio, who was the big winner of Tuesday night? Mm-hmm. I say you were the big winner on Tuesday night because you get Kim Fox, who was your candidate for state's attorney, won. And you had some other key races that you had some interest in that did particularly well.
Well, I'm really grateful to the people of Cook County for voting for transformative change in the state's attorney's office. It was a great victory for Kim. And there are other races in which we worked hard. Juliana Stratton was successful in her effort to defeat incumbent Ken Duncan, and my own state rep, Christian Mitchell, did really well. So I was pleased. Every once in a while, the stars are aligned.
Before we get to Kim Fox, I want to ask you about, because I do want to talk about her, but let's talk about the Juliana Stratton versus Ken Duncan race, because people started to see commercials for it, and it's like, well, it's a state rep. And
the president recorded one.
Right. Juliana Stratton was...
I saved it on my...
I was like, what is happening? That's
right.
Quite an endorsement.
Have you ever seen a president...
In a primary.
In Illinois, at least, dump into a... He's from Illinois, but in a state Senate race, that's a state legislative race, that's
mm-hmm.
a pretty interesting case right there. But that did seem to be a proxy battle between Bruce Rauner and some other folks. Would you align yourself in the anti-Rauner camp in that respect?
Juliana Stratton served in my administration. She was head of the Justice Advisory Council for several years before she went to work at the University of Illinois, and I got to know her then, and I was proud to support her. She was a great candidate.
Do you, as you're moving forward here, how impacted is the county by all the mess that's going on in Springfield?
Well, I didn't check this week, I'm afraid, but as of last week, the state owed us more than $30 million for our fiscal year that ended November 30th of last year, November 30th of 2015.
So that's last year's accounting. That's for that's 2015.
Yeah, for our budget of 2015. You know, the state budget starts July 1 and goes June 30th. But they also owe us $100 million to our health care system, so that's $130 million. And the last time I checked, there was also about $18 million that they owed us for child care enforcement and $12 million that they owed us for Adult Redeploy in Illinois, ARI, which is a anti-recidivism program that tries to keep people who've been in jail and prison from returning there. So all local units of government across the state are suffering. I can just tell you where the county is, and I know for a fact the city's has an even bigger vulnerability in terms of the failure of the state to pay.
Wow.
It's sad because there really are victims, and you mentioned some of the most vulnerable people amongst our population are those who are truly suffering right now. So I'm hoping they can sort that mess out. But I also want to ask you about Kim Fox and the big victory on Election Day. A lot of people were saying that a vote for Kim Fox was a vote against Anita Alvarez. It was a referendum on Laquan McDonald. As you sat back and kind of absorbed the numbers now from Election Day, 2-1 people votes for your candidate, Kim Fox, over Anita. What do you think the voters, what was the clear message you heard there, and what do you believe happened that day?
Well, I haven't seen the suburban results, but this morning Sun Times said that Kim carried 37 of the 50 wards. So just speaking on the city side, clearly there was a broad base of support for Kim and for the idea that we need, as I said earlier, transformative change in our criminal justice system. And Kim clearly was not only the messenger, but the person who the voters believed could deliver on that promise.
And you know, you've been talking about criminal justice reform for a very long time. It's been high on your agenda for years, even when maybe it wasn't as politically popular as it might be today. What kind of progress do you think we could and should make in the county over the next couple of years to change the way things are done?
Well, the county is responsible for the jail, for public safety in the jail. So we're responsible for the courts and for the jail administration of justice. And when I came in 5 years ago, there were 10,000 people in the jail on a daily basis. They're now 7,300. And you have to understand that the overwhelming majority of the people in the jail are awaiting trial. 93% of them are awaiting trial, and 7% are serving a sentence. So the jail is full of people who have not been convicted of the crime of which they're accused. You know, in our system of justice, that means you're innocent until proven guilty. So of the 93% who are awaiting trial, 70% are awaiting trial for nonviolent offenses. And what we've worked on in the last 5 years is to be sure that those people accused, again, of nonviolent crimes get to await the disposition of their case out in the community, going to work, going to school, supporting their families, rather than waiting that time in jail. And people are there for, you know, low-level drug possession, for shoplifting, for not paying their child support. You know, traffic fines can end you up in the jail. Mm-hmm. And it's poor people who are in our jail who can't pay their bail.
Now, it's interesting, as you know, you're referencing the map that they sometimes put on their page 11, at least in my newspaper. No. I don't know. It depends on the
Is that the suburban version?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever we get here at the Tribune Tower, which I and then somehow the Tribune prints it sometimes. Tony, the whole thing is very confusing in our business
really
right
is.
Now. But as I'm looking at this, I'm noticing that where Anita Alvarez won in the few wards that she did win, she went up on the northwest side, which tends to be very, very city worker oriented, and through the Hispanic communities in the southwest side. But again, there's some city workers in there as well. And then on the southwest and southeast sides, also city worker. And I would imagine pretty police intensive in those areas. My guess is that police were, even though, and this is, you know, kind of what I was told as well, despite the fact that Anita Alvarez did, in fact, indict a Chicago police officer in the Laquan McDonald shooting, police were a little more partisan to her than they were to Kim Fox, because Anita Alvarez tend to be someone who did approve charges quite a bit out of the Cook County State Attorney's Office for the police. And that's how it works, right? Cops make the arrest. State's attorneys have to charge the case. What is Kim Fox, would you say, just as her boss, I mean, ultimately in some respects now, but eventually your colleague, to win over the support of the Chicago Police Department? Do you have any advice along that line?
Well, first of all, I while you were speaking, I went back and picked up the newspaper so I could
follow along. Yeah, you need a visual aid here.
I did
almost.
Too, Tony.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought. Yeah.
So the wards, the far south wards that Anita Alvarez won were 10, which is a Latino ward. Mm-hmm. 19, which has always been a very, you're right, city worker, police heavy ward. On the southwest side, it was 11, 12. 13, 14, and 23, and those are heavily Latino wards.
Right. But the northwest side, though, is interesting because that's, again, city workers and cops, right? So
yeah, that's true. But you know, so the Latino community supported Anita Alvarez. She's a member of their tribe. That's not surprising. And that's where most of the south side support was, with the exception of the 19th. Mm-hmm. And then you're right, the northwest side out toward O'Hare. I think that, you know, one of the things that I've always said, and I know Kim believes, is that 95% of our police officers are good and decent people who struggle every day to do a very difficult job well. And the problem we have is that the 5% who are bad actors are not held accountable, and what they do besmirches the reputation of the other 95%. And because we haven't held them accountable, and because there's a culture in the police department to protect people who screw up, to lie on their behalf. I mean, if you think about the other officers who are on the scene who corroborated Jason Van Dyke's story that Laquan McDonald was coming toward him rather than walking away. And until we saw the videotape, you know, it was basically the word of all the officers on the street that he was coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those officers will be disciplined and I expect lose their jobs for perjury. But, you know, that's the culture in the police department. There has not been a willingness from the top down to hold people accountable for their bad acts. And there has to be that accountability for people to have confidence in the police. And frankly, it benefits the overwhelming majority of police officers who are good and decent people, because when the public believes that bad cops will be held accountable, that means that the good cops, you know, will have more respect in the community.
And I've talked to several police officers who feel like there is no system for them to report bad actors. There's no system. The system is actually goes against them even trying to say, hey, this guy did a bad thing, or we should look into that. That system really doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's sort of the thin blue line. You know, we're all in this together, and so no matter what, we're going to cover for each other. Yeah. You know,
I mean, and you'll hear police officers, and I can just hear it in my head as we were describing this.
Mm.
You know, police officers will say, "Well, he wasn't really walking away from the police officer because he had to cross him laterally, so he was veering away." But when you watch the videotape, but he still was going to pass the police. He wasn't turning around and going totally the other direction. So they're going to make the argument that he was still approaching them, and the courts will decide all this anyway, right? I mean, that's where this is all heading. But I think,
Ro, none of the other officers, according to the reports, even drew their guns out of their holsters. You know, and so I think that tells you something about their view of whether or not he was a threat to them. If the other officers on the scene didn't unholster their weapons, what does that say about Jason Van Dyke?
Well, and again, the courts will decide that. And Kim Fox will be, you know, now after the general election, we're assuming that she wins the general election, because I don't remember the last time a Republican won a general election in the county of Cook for there was a sheriff, right?
Okay, I mean,
I'm just trying to go backwards here.
There have been a couple, but yeah. Likely.
Assuming she is the next next state's attorney for the county of Cook, it's going to now fall into her lap, all that happens here in the criminal justice system in terms of charging and trying cases and dealing with the grieving families and dealing with the warring factions and all of that. And I think, as you mentioned, Tony, the tribalism a little bit of this town, too, which is clearly one of the big issues. But congratulations to you. I know you weren't running for anything, but
well, congrats on being named the most powerful person in Chicago by Chicago Magazine. More powerful than Rahm, they say, right?
Listen,
now.
That's,
absolutely.
Listen, I looked at that magazine, and when I stopped laughing, I thought, if this were really true, my life would be a lot easier than it is.
Well,
and the other thing is that it really reflects the challenges that the city's faced over the last year, and not very much about me.
And I would say you also don't wield power in quite the same way we've always seen before, where power to you is doing what you believe in and doing and trying to do what your conscience tells you is the right thing. Whereas before, power in Chicago hasn't always meant that. So to me, it felt good to see you on that list at the top.
Well, if power means working hard for good people in office, I plead guilty.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Tony Preckwinkle, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, now. Bye-bye.
Right, there she goes.